Susan Turner made it back to her office in Rock Creek after a long, slow drive through rush hour traffic. She parked in her reserved space and went in through the front door and up the stone stairs. The handrail was still metal. The second-floor corridor was still narrow. The floor was still linoleum. There were still lines of doors left and right with fluted glass windows in them, with offices behind each one. All unchanged, she thought, since Reacher's day. Repainted, possibly, but not fundamentally altered. Each office was still equipped according to the current DOD protocol. Hers had the famous metal desk, three phones with a total of 30 lines, an ergonomic task chair on casters, file cabinets, and two visitor chairs with springy bent tube legs. Her light shade was made of glass and shaped like a bowl and was hung from the ceiling on three metal chains. It was fitted with an energy-saving bulb. She had a desktop computer with a fast and secure government intranet connection. She had a laptop wirelessly connected to a separate network. She had an up-to-date map of the world on the wall. She sat down. No messages, nothing from the Air Force. Reacher hadn't called again. She plugged her digital voice recorder into her USB hub. Her conversation with her prisoner uploaded to an audio file. Voice recognition software would turn it into a written document. Both new files would be forwarded to the proper destinations. Arrests would be made in Texas and Florida and New York City. A unit citation would follow, plus a Bronze Star recommendation for herself, like night follows day. Reacher had won a Bronze Star way back when. She knew that because she had his personal file on her desk. It was a thick old thing, straining against a furred cardboard jacket. She had been through it many times. Jack Nunn Reacher, born October 29th, a military family, but not a legacy career, because his father had been a Marine. His mother had been French. He had graduated West Point. He had served 13 years. He had been an MP from the start, which, as far as Susan was concerned, put him on the side of the angels. But even so, he had been in and out of trouble the whole time. He had said what needed to be said, and he hadn't cared who he said it to. He had done what needed to be done, and he hadn't cared who he did it to. He had cut corners and cut heads. He had been busted back to captain for busting a civilian's leg. Demotion was always a coded message. Time to move on, buddy. But he had stayed in. He had stayed in and battled back to major again, which had to be the biggest comeback of all time. Then he had led the 110th, its first CEO, its founder, in effect. Her predecessor, but no kind of role model. Yet at intervals through his 13 years, he had won a Silver Star, the Defense Superior Service Medal, the Legion of Merit, a Soldier's Medal, a Purple Heart, and the Bronze Star. Clearly, he had talent to burn. Which meant that with a more corporate attitude and an Army father and an American mother, he could have been chief of staff by now. A bizarre career. The Silver Star and the Purple Heart came from Beirut. Reacher had been an Army liaison officer serving with the Marine Corps at the time of the barracks bombing. He had been badly wounded in the attack and then heroic in the immediate aftermath. All the other medal citations were redacted, which meant they involved secrets. He had been hospitalized in Beirut and then airlifted to Germany for convalescence. His medical summary was in the file. He was a healthy person. The wound had healed fast and completely. It had left what the Army called a disfiguring scar, which implied a real mess. He was 6 feet 5 inches tall, and at the time of the report from Germany had weighed 240 pounds. No internal weaknesses had been detected. His eyesight was rated excellent. He had many formal qualifications. He was rated expert on all small arms. He had won an inter-service 1,000-yard rifle competition with a record score. Anecdotally, his fitness reports rated him well above average in the classroom, excellent in the field, fluently bilingual in English and French, passable in Spanish, outstanding on all man-portable weaponry, and beyond outstanding at hand-to-hand combat. Susan knew what that last rating meant, like having a running chainsaw thrown at you. A hard man, but intelligent. His photograph was stapled to the inside cover of the file. It was a color picture, a little faded by the intervening years. His hair was short and unruly. He had bright blue eyes, a little hooded. His gaze was direct and unflinching. He had two noticeable scars. One was at the corner of his left eye, the other was on his upper lip. His face looked like it had been chipped out of rock by a sculptor who had ability, but not much time. All flat, hard planes. He had a neck. Thick, for sure, but it was there. His shoulders were broad, his arms were long, and his hands were large. His mouth was set in a wry smile that was halfway between patient and exasperated, like he knew he had to get his picture taken, but like he had just gotten through telling the photographer the guy had 3 more seconds before his camera got rammed down his throat. Jack Nunn Reacher. Altogether, Susan felt that he would be interesting to know, possibly rewarding as a friend, certainly dangerous as an enemy. She picked up her phone and dialed her guy in the Air Force, asked him if there was news. There wasn't. She asked when it would come through. Her guy said, soon. She said, soon wasn't soon enough. Her guy said, trying to impress someone? She said, no, and hung up. The last page of Reacher's file was a standard cross-reference index that listed related mentions in other files. There were 73 citations. They were all classified, which was no big deal. Virtually all military paper was classified. The first 72 citations were dated at various points during his 13 years of service and were classified at a level that would make them awkward for her to get hold of. Operational reports, obviously. The 73rd citation was classified at a lower level, but it was ancient, dated way back. So far back, in fact, that Jack Nunn Reacher would have been just 6 years old at the time, a little boy, which was strange. A contemporary report about family issues would be in the Marine Corps archives, not Army, because of his father. So why was the Army holding paper on a 6-year-old kid?